Let's welcome in Alan Kolinge. He is the founder of Student Loan Justice. Website is studentloanjustice.org. Also the author of The Student Loan Scam and creator of a petition on change.org pushing Congress and the Biden administration to cancel student loans, something that's definitely been in the news. Joining us to talk more about that and also some pretty shocking numbers in terms of student debt at the state level. Alan, how are you doing today?
Good to be with you, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we dive into some of these numbers that you looked at least at the state level, I do want to go to some news that just broke today. This is being reported out of Rolling Stone that the Biden administration is announcing that they are going to rescind a Trump administration rule that only gave partial relief to borrowers who were defrauded by for-profit institutions. Decision could affect about 72,000 borrowers who received less than complete relief under the Trump-era formula and will grant them a combined $1 billion in canceled loans. So I want your reaction to this, Alan, because on the surface, yeah, this certainly seems like a good thing. But as you and I chatted about off air, this really isn't even a drop in the bucket compared to the rest of the student loans we still have outstanding right now.
Oh, that's right, Brett. You know, first of all, these are loans that, by all rights, should have been canceled during the Obama years. So over 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. This is longstanding rules which allow debt to be discharged where the institution lied, committed fraud against their students. So these loans should have gone away a long time ago. And this announcement yesterday is frankly underwhelming to the extreme. this is $1 billion in canceled debt that they are promising. And by the way, it hasn't happened yet, and I will believe it when I see it. But $1 billion is almost nothing compared to the $1,566 billion that the nation owes in federal student debt alone. In fact, the Department of Education, who owns 87% of all student loan debt in the country, they make $1 billion in interest alone in less than 4 days. So, while I'm potentially happy for the 75,000 borrowers who are seeing a $13,000 on average discharge, this is not even a pinprick.
What was that number again? You said they make $1 billion. You said over 4 days?
They make $1 billion in interest on the federal loan portfolio in less than 4 days, a little over 3 days. To put that in perspective, you know, this is almost nothing. This is, quite frankly, to someone like me who's been fighting student loan injustice for 16 years now, it's kind of insulting. And, you know, this is a very long, drawn-out saga. You know, we've seen glowing headlines like this around this issue for the past 7 or 8 years. We've seen many court victories. We've even had a federal judge threatening Secretary of Education under Trump, Betsy DeVos, with jail time if they did not cancel loans. And, you know, the lesson here, Brett, is that the Department of Education has no desire or intentions of canceling any student loans. It is just against their institutional DNA. I could go on for a while now. We now know, it came out last week, that of the millions of people who signed up for various income-driven repayment plans, 32 people actually ended up qualifying for loan cancellation. 32 people out of several million attempts. So the Department of Education is unfortunately just not a good actor in this game. They are really the largest predatory lender in the country by far.
So what powers does the Office of the Presidency have to cancel student loan debt? Is this something that the Biden administration could do on their own, or is this something that requires congressional approval?
Great question. The president has, and the Secretary of Education have, full, very broad leeway to cancel any and all federal student loans, federally owned student loans, I should say, with nothing more than an order from the secretary under advisement by the president. So the Higher Education Act and the language actually goes back to the late 50s, believe it or not. Congress, decades ago, gave the secretary very broad authority to waive, compromise, release their interest in federally owned student loans. So this could be done tomorrow. President Biden could cancel these loans without congressional approval. Most importantly, without congressional appropriation. In other words, no money would have to be, quote unquote, paid. No money would have to be drawn from Treasury. And incidentally, this would add zero to the national debt. So in terms of fiscal stimulus, there's really no easier, cheaper, and I would say more appropriate way to stimulate the economy.
We're speaking with Alan Kolinge of the group Student Loan Justice. And Alan, one of the things you recently studied was taking a look at the relationship between the amount of money the citizens of one state owes and comparing it to that state's budget. And unbelievably, you found that 18 states have citizens that owe more money than their entire state budget. That is an absolutely shocking number. And I have to imagine you were pretty surprised, too, when you ran these numbers.
Frankly, I was stunned. I sort of had an idea that some of the states were getting close to exceeding their total state budgets. And this is the big state budget, by the way. This is federal and state spending combined. I knew a few states were getting close, but I had no idea how bad it had gotten. So I looked at very recent Department of Education data. And it turns out that some states owe tens of billions of dollars more than their total state budgets in student loan debt. It turns out that Georgia, for whatever reason, turns out to be the worst. So the state of Georgia, their total state budget is $48 billion. Outstanding student loan debt of the citizens of Georgia is around $81 billion. So, and quite frankly, I really don't think, Brett, that many or maybe even any of the governors of these states are aware of this fact. You know, they know about the state budgets, but they probably just don't look at federal student loan debt very carefully. And so this is very big news. And we are trying to spread the words, not only in those states that I mentioned, and people can see the press release for themselves at studentloanjustice.org, but around the country. You know, this is obscene, unacceptable. And quite frankly, this lending system has gone over the cliff. It's become a national threat at this point.
And by the way, here in the state of Minnesota, we have a state budget of about $38 billion, while our citizens owe about $32 billion in student loan debt. So unfortunately, we are getting close to being at that point where our citizens owe more in student debt than our entire state budget. So Alan, another thing I noticed looking at these rankings is that the majority of the states that have their citizens owing more in student debt than their entire state budget are Republican or red-leaning states. Do we have any idea why this is occurring? Are there any specific policies being put in place in these red states?
You know, I don't have a good explanation for why 13 of the 19 states that owe more than their total state budgets in student loan debt, why they lean to the right. I don't know. You look at the top of the list and you see states like Florida and Texas and South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Ohio, Indiana, Tennessee, Alabama, Maryland, South Dakota, etc. It's a really good question. You know, some of these states tend to have lower per capita state budgets. But, you know, when you look at a state like Georgia, where, you know, they owe 169% of their total state budget, you really have to wonder what in the heck is going on here. And why did the governors of all those states not spot this many years ago and act? You know, this is a lot of money that's being taken out of these state economies. And the fact that it appears to be hurting the red states far, far worse than average, it should be very concerning for legislators and governors of those states.
I know we talked a little bit about what could be done at the federal level, at least from the Biden administration and an executive order. But what about at the state legislative level, or as you said, at the gubernatorial level? What exactly could they do?
Well, not a lot. You know, we have federal supremacy, so they don't have any real power to have direct influence over the problem. But, you know, what the governors could do, which would be extraordinarily strong, is simply collectively, hopefully, call on the president to cancel these loans. You know, I guess in the worst case scenario, state legislatures could do some fairly radical things and, you know, bar student loan collection companies and other companies from operating in their states, you know, maybe offer some sort of safe harbor legislation, that sort of thing. But You know, Brett, I think if many, if not most of the governors of the country in a single voice stood up and said, Mr. President, cancel these loans, I think it would probably happen, you know, particularly if some conservative governors would stand up and stop fighting for Washington, D.C. and the student loan swamp, as I call it, and start fighting for their own citizens. I think that message would be strong enough to win the day.
And the problem is only going to get much, much worse as we head into the future, because as you wrote, the class of 2004 is already defaulting on their loans 40% of the time, but they were only borrowing one third of what's being borrowed today. And that is a scary number to think about in terms of what kind of debt numbers we could be looking at in 10, 20, or 30 years from now.
Yeah, Brett, you know, by all rational metrics and measures, this lending system is a catastrophic, and I mean catastrophic failure. You know, even before the pandemic, the guy who literally ran the federal lending system after he stepped down before the pandemic, Wayne Johnson is his name, he told me that 80% of all federal student loan borrowers were never going to be able to repay their loans, even before the pandemic. So, you know, I think we're probably looking at a default rate among all current borrowers of something like 75, 80, 85%. And, you know, by way of comparison, the default rate for subprime home mortgages, which was our most recent failed lending system, the default rate for those loans was only 18%. So we are well over probably four times higher than that. So I don't know what other evidence you need to see to say, yeah, this lending system is, it's done. It's toast.
Another thing that I think is important to point out when we're talking about student loan debt is that it's not just people in their 20s or 30s that are racking up these huge amounts of student debt. In fact, there are a lot of older people who still also owe quite a bit of money.
You know, Brett, believe it or not, and this is a piece of research that we discovered in December, it turns out the highest balance borrowers in this country are over 50 years old. And more than that, there are more people in the country over the age of 50 who have student loans than there are people under the age of 25, which is just astonishing. You know, the way people think about student loans is, okay, yeah, you get your loans in your 20s, you pay them off in your 30s. If you're in your 40s, you still have a student loan, that's probably pretty rare. And, you know, it's almost unheard of that people in their 50s would have any student loan debt. That's the common misconception, but it turns out that, in fact, the opposite of that is true. And again, you know, that's just one more piece of evidence that shows very clearly that this lending system is just done. It's vanishing into a mist of illegitimacy. I really think this pandemic is and should be the nail in the coffin of this thing. You know, as a country, we've got to rethink how to fund the colleges in this country. This lending system was maybe a good idea back in the 60s, but the way they turned the lending system into a predatory lending instrument, removing bankruptcy protections that the founders called for in the Constitution, removing statutes of limitations, putting in place a mafia-like collection regime, they really weaponized these loans, and at this point, there is simply no saving it. The easiest, most efficient way to move forward is to be done with these loans, and not partial. This lending system can't be allowed to continue. All the loans must be canceled. And whatever happens in Washington, Brett, you know, nobody is paying on their student loans right now during the pandemic. Even before the pandemic, very few people were, less than half. And whenever they try to lift this repayment suspension, you know, the reality is that very few people will resume making payments. Student loans essentially have become one huge, very painful national joke at this point.
So what can people do to get involved with your organization, Student Loan Justice? And also, what can people do in terms of contacting their elected officials to try to get student debt relief?
Absolutely. Number one, this is not a thing that Congress can do, really. This comes down to President Biden. We have to push President Biden to cancel these loans. He has already signaled some resistance to that. He's kind of dragging his feet. I would urge everybody there, particularly people that live in or know people who live in the 19 states that are mentioned in our report, get with the governors. You know, the governors cannot allow this to happen on their watch. So we need to put pressure on the president We need to put pressure on the governors. One thing we do need Congress for is returning bankruptcy protections to all student loans. So there are quite a few student loans out there that the president cannot cancel by executive order. We absolutely must get constitutional bankruptcy protections returned to those. So if people want to call their congressperson, don't waste your time talking about loan cancellation. Push your members of Congress, particularly your senators, particularly your Republican senators, to return bankruptcy protections to all student loans. That really should have happened decades ago, and it would have saved us a lot of the pain and everything that we're seeing now here today.
That's Alan Colin. He is the founder of Student Loan Justice. That website is studentloanjustice.org, and they also have a petition over at change.org. Alan, thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you, Brett.